This is Career Conversations with Kelly, a podcast brought to you by Drexel University's LeBeau College of Business that explores careers and professional development by showcasing successful business leaders in the Philadelphia region. And now, here is your host, Kelly Diley.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the first episode of Career Conversations with Kelly. I'm Kelly Diley, your humble host. I'm a career coach with Drexel University's LeBeau College of Business, where I work very closely with the graduate business students in our business analytics and supply chain management programs. Joining me today is Rich Blumberg, president of World Sales Solutions, as well as a Drexel Dragon. Today, Rich and I are going to discuss the importance of networking, the importance of being prepared for an interview, and the good that resulted from a layoff. Welcome, Rich.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here, Kelly.
Wonderful. We're very grateful for your time. And, you know, I know we were chatting offline, and I thought that students would most benefit from hearing you just go right into telling us a little bit about your background.
Yes.
Your training, perhaps, and how you got to where you are today.
Well, it was quite a journey, and it's been a lot of fun. And if I start with where I'm at today, I started a company 14 and a half years ago called World Sales Solutions. We're located on the SAP campus in Newtown Square. I have a great team of five. I'm one of the five. Mm-hmm. One of the team members is a Drexel co-op, and the other four are Drexel alumni.
Wow.
And how I got here is really just a journey of working for large and medium-sized companies, consulting firms, startups. And then at some point, I decided I wanted to start my own business. Mm-hmm. But what you'll find is that I'm working with employees of SAP and other customers, so getting the best of both worlds, entrepreneurship, small business, and working with very large companies, Fortune 1000 companies.
Have you always known that you wanted to start your own business?
My mom says yes, because I had a lot of businesses growing up, from lawn businesses, shoveling snow, always trying to hustle a few dollars when I was little. But I started to get the bug, and people started to come up to me and said, one of the chief operating officers and presidents of a company said, Rich, you operate more as a consultant than as an employee. Hmm. Why don't you think about starting your own business? So the bug was in there, and I'm really happy that I had the opportunity to and the resilience to get started with it.
Nice. Well, that kind of leads into my next question. Why are you so passionate about careers and professional development?
Well, to be honest, Kelly, when I was a student at Drexel, I really didn't understand how to get a job. And I was pretty frustrated with it. I did a lot of traveling when I graduated, and when I came back, I just couldn't figure it out. I went to professors, I went to family, friends, anybody that could give advice on careers, and I couldn't figure it out. And I actually paid a Drexel professor money to learn about it.
Oh, wow.
And it was back in the day, it was like $400 a lesson. And after two lessons, I thought, okay, now I think I'm getting it. And the long story short was I made a bit of a vow, and I said, if I can figure this out, both the science and art of getting jobs and careers, I'll share it with anybody, because I can't figure it out, but if I can, I will share it with anybody who's interested.
Wow. I have to say, I was taken aback that you paid the professor
$400. Yes.
I'm sitting here wondering if I should open a side business here.
Yes.
No, but I think that's great that you're willing to share with our students and even, you know, some of our young alums, I'm hoping, would really find this interesting as well.
Sure.
You know, one of the things that I find is very important in building your career is networking. I often tell my students, you have to network, even though we don't always like going to networking events, right? In full disclosure, sometimes it can be an inconvenience, or we might feel nervous if we're an introvert, right? But I really try to help them understand that networking is important. It can really pay off down the road. And I'm wondering if you have any success stories as a result of networking.
A really close friend of mine and I got together for breakfast. We got an invitation to a Drexel event, and the long story short is we said, if you go, I'll go. So we went, and we had a great time. We saw some things we could improve. We started getting involved, and then ultimately getting elected to the Board of Governors. So the Drexel's been a wonderful network professionally. There's so many great people. And then in my business, I'm on the campus of SAP in Newtown Square, one of the largest, most successful companies in the world. And having a network of salespeople, pre-sales, consultants, really everybody is very important, because how can you be a consultant if you can't navigate? So the network is important, not only from a professional and personal side, but to get new business, most of my business is referrals. So it's word of mouth. So if I do a really successful project, it's going to lead to the network, which is going to refer new businesses.
So networking has obviously worked for you, and you've become quite successful due to networking. You mentioned referrals, and you also mentioned new business opportunities due to networking.
Yes.
Can you comment just a little bit more on those two areas?
You mentioned a good point, which is some people are natural. So they go to the events, they're happy with it, it works out, it's fine. But I can understand and appreciate. Sometimes even I don't feel like I'm not, the mojo isn't there.
Yeah.
I don't really want to do it, but I know it's a really good program.
Right.
A couple of thoughts and suggestions is, one, bring a wing person, a wing man, wing woman.
I love it.
And bring a friend. They don't even have to be involved with that particular event, but just someone you're comfortable with. That's the one. And the second and last piece of advice would be, when you go, don't feel like you have to meet a million people. Say to yourself, if I could just meet one or two really nice people and interact and maybe engage and learn something new, it's successful. And just see how it goes and just keep it at that.
I couldn't agree more with you. I tell people to shoot for three, but if you come out with two,
two or three, it was successful.
I totally agree with you. Was hoping to switch gears a little bit now, going on to the other side of things. I think it's important for students and, quite frankly, for all professionals to hear from a highly successful person such as yourself that it's not always easy. There's going to be bumps along the road. And was just curious if you can share a story of a time in your career where you experienced a setback.
Yeah, and I think anybody who has a level of success, a leader, they're going to have some setbacks. And the best advice is that you should learn from it and try to improve it and kind of look in the mirror and accept it rather than ignore it, because if you master it, you'll be able to move on. But if you don't, the same thing will come at you. But as far as an example goes, when I was at SAP, and I haven't really told this story a lot in any setting publicly or otherwise, but why not today?
Okay.
I was at SAP. I was a top performer. I was industry marketing. I brought service industries from Europe and around the world to the Americas in the late 90s. I was called on by top executives to do special VIP SWAT team related projects, things that nobody else could do. I was asked to clean up messes and fix things that were broken. And I was very passionate about all of it. Did it for about 3 years. And then leading up to the year 2000, which to some of our listeners may seem like a long time ago, but there was a technology issue called the year 2000 where they thought that the computers would blow up.
I remember.
In the year, yeah.
And I remember.
And it fueled a lot of growth. And I could see that coming. And I was ready for the internet and e-commerce and things like that. But SAP, great company. I love it. Just wasn't ready at that time for some of the ideas that I had. There was a bit of a numbers game, and they cut some people. It wasn't performance per se, but they cut some people. I was one of them. Well, it happened around the holidays, around Christmas. I had two little kids, family to support, and I was a top performer, so I expected to keep going. And here I'm kind of kicked to the curb, feeling pretty bad about the whole thing. I called up one of my SAP colleagues, and he actually was a Jesuit, and I didn't really know it at the time. He said, "Rich, let me tell you, what is a catastrophe? Is it losing your job?" I said, "Seems pretty bad to me." He goes, "No, a catastrophe is people who can't find food, fires, cars overturn, building blows up. That's a catastrophe. You have the skills, you have the capabilities, you went to Drexel, you have a great education. You're going to be fine. You're going to dust yourself off." And the long story short is by, let's say, February, I had the job I wanted with an internet consulting firm, and basically turned a lemon of being downsized into lemonade because I got the experience I needed, which helped get me to where I am today, and I made some lifelong friends.
I'm sitting here with my mouth open.
Right.
Everybody can't see me. Well, first of all, thanks for sharing that. You know, I very impressed. I love your message in there. You know, briefly, I have a story that I don't share with many people. I was in Manhattan from 2007 to 2009 when the economy happened.
Yeah.
And
2008 was a tough year, right?
And you know, I was in recruiting, I was working on commission, and a lot of my clients were on Wall Street and they were closing their doors.
Right.
And I was faced at a crossroads basically with what am I going to do? And long story short, I did some soul searching and I ultimately decided to move back to Philadelphia and pursue grad school. And honestly, though, if I wouldn't have gone through that, I don't know if I would have made that decision.
Right.
And it's the best thing that ever happened to me because of now where my career has taken me.
Right.
When it comes to an entry-level candidate or even a manager or an executive, what qualities, whether technical or otherwise, do you look for in these types of candidates?
Well, there, of course, depending on the level of experience that we're looking for, there's going to be some differences, but there are some common threads here. But let's start with the basics. Great education. I'm going to spend a lot of time looking at Drexel alumni and students, if it's a co-op or a recent graduate or alumni. I'm going to look at integrity. You know, I want to make sure I can trust this person. It's very important. I'm going to look at their work experiences. Obviously, those are going to be important. Are they relevant? We're also going to look, and I should also say, I have a team, so we've learned that it's not just me who's going to look at it. I have a team, so I actually let them play a lead role because when candidates come to me, they will tell me one story, and when they come to my team, other things can come out. So I believe that it is a team approach. I also look at activities outside of work. So if a person's been a leader in a student association or a group, a club, they've done something, community service, charity, giving back, that's going to be really important. So those are some of the universal qualities, and I know we'll touch base a little bit more on it, but the readiness is going to be key, because if we don't have the readiness for what we have offered in our job description and what we're looking for and who we are, it could be a showstopper extremely quickly.
Well, I'm hanging on every word
right.
Because, you know, as a career coach, naturally I share these different things with
right.
my students, but, you know, I have to say that sometimes students are right on target with knowing their strengths or knowing their skills,
right.
but they're not able to articulate why they're interested in this particular organization, okay?
Okay.
And I was hoping for you to touch upon
sure.
how important is it to show the company that you've done some homework on them?
Off the charts important. As I mentioned, if 10 candidates came to me and one or two had done their preparation and the others did not, eight of them would be dismissed very quickly and one or two would be serious candidates for us. It's not a hard thing to do. It's more of a discipline than a hard thing. So looking at the website, LinkedIn, you got Twitter, social media, things like that. In our case, I'm a small business working with SAP and SAP customers. There's a lot of information about SAP. So for us, you have to know a little bit about who we work with, SAP and the customers, and a little bit about World Sales
right.
Solutions. And how could you come into an environment if you didn't know the basic things? If you came to Drexel and you were looking for a job and you didn't know LeBeau is the business school and you didn't know about the engineering school or public health or anything like that, how could you be taken seriously?
I totally agree with you. Yeah. So right on. I agree. And again, to the students out there listening, to any professional listening, it's the total package. You have to show interest not only in the position you're interviewing for, but also in the company. Help them connect the dots as far as why you're interested in the company and why you're the best fit candidate for the position.
As well as the individual. So look up on LinkedIn. Who are they? What are the last jobs been? Where did they go to school? Find out something. We talk about icebreakers. How can you do an icebreaker if you don't know anything about the person? Like if you know a person went to the University of Rochester and you say, hey, how's Rochester these days? There's going to be a lot better chance to have an icebreaker than you know nothing and you're like, hey, I didn't take the time to really figure out who you were or who the organization is.
Agree. So what do you think that Drexel graduates should consider in finding their next job or making advancements with their current employer?
Both are very interesting and very important. In considering their next job, what I would like to suggest is you start with your passion. What do you really like to do? Don't just do something that you kind of found yourself in. What do you really like? Do you like certain hobbies? Do you like sales? Do you like delivery? Do you like technology, retail? What is it that you like? And then pursue based on something that you're going to enjoy doing for 40, 50 plus hours.
Can I ask you to comment on the blog? Didn't you write a blog that
yes.
sort of touches on this?
Yeah. If you go to worldsalessolutions.com, that's pretty easy to remember, worldsalessolutions.com. Because it's my business, I can put anything I want on the site. And because getting a job is really like a sales cycle, and so since I'm involved with selling, delivering, and some other things, I find it very applicable to put a blog on there. So I put a blog called The Art and Science of Getting a Job. And that really follows what we said earlier, which is how do you break it down? How do you network? How do you get prepared? What are some of the steps that you might want to take? And I welcome everybody to take a look at it.
That sounds great. I'm actually wondering if there's a way, you know what, Rich, can you say it again? Can you give the website again?
The website is worldsalesolutions.com. When you get to the landing page, just go to the lower right and you'll see a series of blogs. Then the second or third one is the art and science of getting a job. And I would welcome anyone to look at it. I have some templates on it. One is the multiple jobs and organizations you're looking for, whether it's within a company or multiple companies. Another one is an incredible dashboard for the interview that I got from a top executive, and I modified it for the purpose of the blog.
Wow, awesome. Thank you so much. That's fabulous. And I'm also going to be sure to take a look at that. One of the things you mentioned, I think it might have even been offline, that I found very interesting is your three-pronged approach to identifying a position. Can you just talk a little bit about that, please?
Yeah, well, we share a passion, Kelly, for mentoring and coaching and supporting students and recent graduates and even older graduates. I'm an equal opportunity supporter. Let's take a look at an analogy, a three-legged stool. So the first prong will be one leg. It's the job board and other compelling events, articles, indications that something's happening in the company where you might get hired, an opportunity. The second leg of the stool is the economic decision maker. There's a book that I have read and I recommend often called Selling to Vito by Anthony Parnello. It talks about Vito, who's the very important top officer. So find out who is the top economic decision maker that you need to reach out to. And the third prong is, who do you know? And that's back to the networking. You'd be amazed at your own network. You'd also be amazed if you go to the Drexel alumni LinkedIn. There's like 10,000 plus. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of alumni on the Drexel LinkedIn. I hope you're all members of it. And then you can do searches. So whether you know the person or someone you know knows the person, there's going to be an alumni or someone in your network that you can connect to often that can help you. So if you put those three prongs together, you have an effective campaign for your job or your career. If you take one away, what happens to the stool? Probably will fall down.
Are there any final words of wisdom or pieces of advice that you can share with the folks who are listening today?
There's a few things. You know, I had a really great conversation within the last day with a similar situation. And we always want, when we're networking for a job, we want the job, we want the career next step. But the people that you network with don't always have the name right in front of them. But if you realize that informational interviews, informational discussions are very helpful, keep that in mind as an effective tool. I use the example of the Eiffel Tower too. Mm-hmm. So I went there with my family and there's a 2-hour wait to get up to the top. So I said to my kids, we're gonna have to miss the Eiffel Tower. We can't go with the 2-hour wait. And then my son said, we have to go to the top. So I looked at the steps, bought a ticket, and we walked right on up. And the reason I use this analogy is that if you're willing to take the steps in the process for getting a job, you will be successful. 100% you will be successful. But if you look for the shortcuts, you might get something, but you can't guarantee it unless you take the effective steps. So that would be one word of advice. The second one would be the dreaming that we talked about, your passion. The CEO of SAP is Bill McDermott, who's a wonderful leader, and he wrote a book, Winner's Dream. So I would encourage you, A, you might want to read the book, and secondly, dream about what you will be. Dream about your career, what you've learned at Drexel, and then put yourself in the position to achieve those successes. And whether it's Bill McDermott, who started in a deli, became a sales rep at Xerox, and eventually became the CEO of one of the most successful companies in the world, or it's someone like Kelly or me or you listening, that would be really great to think about. And then one last word of advice or suggestion I would give everyone is another analogy. Start thinking about, do you have 5 or 10 or 15 targets? I mean, you can have a few more, but you do have to have multiple targets. To me, 50 targets might feel like a lot. Maybe you could handle it. I don't know that I could, because I'm going to put a lot of time and energy into a job or a career search, and I'd rather do it with 5 or 10 or 15 that I'm really into, rather than trying to spread too thin, kind of like peanut butter on the bread. So I'll leave you with this analogy that a sales friend and I use. Like, whether you're getting a deal or a new job, in order to close one deal or to get one job, think of it like you're fishing. Do you put one rod in the water? No. What we do is we put 10 rods in the water to catch one fish. So if you put 10 or 15 or 5 rods in the water, and those represent your job, your next career steps, you have a better chance to get the one you want. But if you're too narrow focused or you're too widespread, it may not happen the way you want it. So I just suggest be focused, be confident, and have some fun while you're doing it, and take some time for yourself, and don't take it too seriously. Mm-hmm. Have some fun.
Well, this has been wonderful. wonderful advice. I feel inspired. I've learned some things today. Always keep learning, right? We never stop learning. And I just want to thank you again, Rich, for taking the time, for really providing some amazing advice. Like I said, I've learned a lot. I'm very impressed with some of your analogies, with some of the stories that you've told, and just really wishing you the best. And thanks again for coming here and joining me today.
Thanks for having me, and I really appreciate getting to know you better and to support the school. Drexel's a great place.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Career Conversations with Kelly, a production of Drexel's LeBeau College of Business. Opinions expressed do not reflect the views of the college or university. We hope that you will join us again for our next episode.